This message is presented to you by Pastor Cliff Reynolds and Word Alive Church in Elwood City, PA. For more information, visit wordalivechurch.info.
Good to see you all this morning. It's great to be out in this nice weather.
Yes.
In May. And let's just pray for, I'm going to be sharing today, so let's just pray for this word. So God, we just thank you for the word coming forth this morning with clarity and strength and power. Lord, let it transform us from the inside out. Lord, let your anointing flow in this house. Lord, I ask you to touch every person who's here. We thank you for sound thinking in this place. Sound minds. Lord, you've not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. So Lord, we thank you this morning, Father, for increasing our ability to be at peace, to be at rest, to laugh in the face of difficulty and challenges. To just rest in your love for us, that you are going to take care of us. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, they say in the end times that the church is going to rise up and be a strong pillar. And he's going to come back for a strong, a healthy bride of Christ. But that doesn't mean the church, the world's going to be perfect. No, it's our ability to be above the world's circumstances that's going to make the bride of Christ shine.
Yeah.
When we're all walking in faith, we're going to be shining for the Lord. And the dark's getting darker, but the church is going to get brighter.
Right.
And we're going to be ready for the bride. Why? Because we're walking by faith.
Amen.
It's so bad that you have to, right?
That's
right? So my dad went out to the car to get these. Thank you, Dad. Well, we know these, I guess they're the same on both sides, but we know these parts of us, right? Just like we have the Trinity. We have our three parts, spirit, soul, and body. And something I wanted to bring out this morning is when you give your heart to the Lord, your spirit becomes connected to God. In fact, Jesus comes and lives. The Holy Spirit comes and lives and abides in your spirit. That's pretty amazing. So this part of you is like righteous. It's one with the Lord, in union with Christ. And then we have this soul that we really have to get to think and act and to be in union with Christ as well.
That's right. Yeah.
This thing right here is always going to fight this process. In fact, sometimes our soul fights this process.
Yes.
And so I'm going to bring out this morning that if you can mesh these together, you're going to have heaven on earth.
Come on.
But as long as you're kind of playing around with other influences and other things that are pulling at you, whatever that might be, appetites of the flesh, it could be anything. It could be even worrying. As long as you're partnering with your flesh and your sinful, the old person, you're not going to experience the heaven on earth. Let me put it right side up. So we want to get this as much as we can over here and forget about this thing. So what does that mean? We got to think, we got to act, we got to talk what Jesus would say. We got to agree with what he says. So, you know, my dad was talking last week about Joshua and Caleb, and he made a good point. He said, I don't even know the other 10 spies' names. We don't even know any of them. I don't think I know of any of them. Are they in the scriptures? I don't even know. But here's the thing. We know Joshua and Caleb because living by faith will mark you. Living by faith will make you stand out. Say it to your neighbor. You're marked. So that means in a difficult situation, we're going to look and say, well, God said this. So that's what I'm going to lean on. So that's what Joshua and Caleb, in fact, let's look at it real quick. This is at the end of this sermon, so it's not in the scriptures that you have up there. But we have right here in Numbers that then Caleb quieted the people before Moses said, let us go at once and take possession of it, for we will certainly conquer it. This is a completely different report than the other 10 gave. They talked about grasshoppers, we're not able to do it, and it's going to be hard, and it's going to be impossible to conquer this land that God said we could have. Well, Joshua and Caleb decided to believe. I bet the whole way there to Canaan, they're thinking, hey, this is the land that God said we're going to have. They're probably saying it out loud. They're thinking about it. We're going to go see what God's given us. We're not going to have to work as hard to plant stuff. It's going to grow. And they're probably talking about the whole way there.
Yeah.
But the other 10 were probably like, do you see anybody? Is anybody coming after us? I don't know. But I'm trying to give you a point that the way you think and the way you talk is going to affect what's going to happen in your report, in your life. And so when you go back to Genesis 17, God tells Moses, I'm giving you the land of Canaan. It says it right here. I will give you the entire land of Canaan. So, of course, Moses is telling everybody, hey, this is the land that God has promised us. And so Joshua and Caleb, they're just gullible enough to say, I'm going to believe this declaration of the Lord. I'm even going to believe Moses heard from the Lord, right? I'm going to believe that Moses heard from the Lord and this is our land. So here's the thing. In our own minds, we have all these thoughts come to our own minds. Things that you can't do it. You're not good enough. You're not strong enough. You're not smart enough. These thoughts are from the enemy, right? Unless we say to ourselves, but I'm going to believe what God says over what my mind's telling me. Same thing with Joshua and Caleb. They were saying, I'm going to believe what Moses said that God said over what I see. So we have to get it into our hearts this morning that it might look difficult. It might look impossible. It might look challenging. It might look, circumstances around us might look bleak. But what did God say? What did God say? Can I hear an amen out there?
Amen.
We're going to believe what God says, right?
Amen.
Like Joshua and Caleb, we're going to believe what God says over what it looks like.
That's right.
What's that called? Walking by faith.
Yeah.
That'll mark you, just like Joshua and Caleb were marked. Okay, enough of that. Say, I got it. You got it. Amen. So I'm going to read you a story this morning, starting out as we talk about our thoughts again. And our words and our actions or our deeds. I'm going to start out with a story because I know for me, I'm a very detailed person. I mean, if you saw my notes, I have like 12 pages of notes. And I'm a very detailed person. I notice everything that's out of place. I don't know if it's a gift or a curse. But but God wants us to take a look back and see the big picture in challenging situations. See the big picture. For example, say someone went on to be with the Lord, but they knew the Lord. Take a step back, even though your heart is hurting from the loss. Guess what? They're in heaven. The big picture. They arrived. They finished their course. Yes, our heart's grieving. Yes, we're normal. We're sad that we're going to miss them, but guess what? They're the lucky one. They finished. So it's all a matter of perspective, right? So for me, a detailed person, I have to take a step back sometimes and say, hey, the big picture says that speck is no big deal.
That's right.
That little thing over here is not a big deal.
Uh-huh.
And I'm still working on that. But here's the story. At the end of a long work day, an employee was leaving his factory. Okay, so just picture this guy leaving the mill. And he's got this wheelbarrow, pushing a wheelbarrow through the gate to head home. Inside the wheelbarrow was a small box. So he's pushing this wheelbarrow. With a small box inside, the security guard stopped the man and said, what have you got in your wheelbarrow? I've got a small box, he said. I know you got a small box, the guard said. This is the security guard. What's in the box? The worker replied. The sawdust on the floor, at the end of the day, it gets swept up and thrown away. I needed some, so I put it in the box and I'm taking it home. Oh, the guard looked inside the box and sure enough, it was filled with sawdust. He sent the worker on his way. Okay, go, go. The next day, the same thing happened. The third day, the same thing. The fourth day, every day, he's doing the same thing. The fifth day, the worker again comes through the gate with a wheelbarrow on his way home and a box of sawdust. This time, the security guard said, it's you again with your wheelbarrow and your sawdust. I've got a feeling that you're up to something. I think you're actually stealing something. Look. Why don't you tell me what you're stealing? And I promise, I won't report it. It's bothering me. And the worker said, all right, I'll tell you. I'm stealing wheelbarrows. So, in our life, thank you for getting it. Appreciate that. I worked really hard on making sure you got it. But yeah, we work so hard on our life focusing on the small thing, we forget the big picture. The big picture is God loves us. Don't get distracted by little things, little problems. Keep your eyes on the big picture, that he wants to be involved in your life, that he's for you. Keep the big perspective, and don't be distracted by circumstances around you. You ever get a stone in your shoe or something, and that's all you can think about? This stone, I got to stop what I'm doing and take my shoe off and find this thing in my foot. And God says, okay, you know, fix the stone, I guess, but keep your eyes focused on me and keep walking towards me. Amen. Does everyone say the big thing? We say it around here, keep the main thing the main thing. And what are we all here for? We're not just here to survive, but we're here to actually do what? Bible says, go and tell. Go and tell. So when we think we're just trying to survive or live or just get through life, no. We're actually here to bring people into his kingdom. And that's the main thing. Whatever else happens, it's really pointless. Whatever house you get after 50 years of saving, it doesn't really matter because you can't take it with you. What really matters is go and tell.
That's right.
And bring people into his kingdom. All right, so this heavenly, I call it a heavenly mindset, a godly perspective. A heavenly perspective puts all these other little things lower in God's word, higher, and has the final say over your circumstances. You know, I love this verse in Romans 12. We talk about it a lot, where it says, don't be conformed to think like the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That says a couple of things to me. For one thing, it says this thing is not right. This is your mind, your spirit. This is your, mind, will, and emotions. I was looking at him for help there. This is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And it's not right. There's something wrong. Without the Lord, this thing is not right. We all agree? We think crazy thoughts. We do, you know, we do crazy things because of this thing. And Romans 12:2 says, unless you transform your thinking, you're going to be conformed to think like the world, to act like the world. So we have a choice to make. Are we going to fix this thing? Or are we just going to let it think like the world? Whenever something's bad's happening, we talk about it to everybody. being negative. So I'm convinced that if we can get our soul to be completely completely, I'm going to say completely. I think it's possible. I think it's possible to think exactly like God thinks. We're going to have heaven on earth. Things are going to open up. Doors are going to open up. We're going to, just like Jesus walked the earth and things that he said happened, things that he did were blessed because he thought and talked like God. Lord, help us to think and talk like you. So I just want to deal with it for a brief minute on the way we see ourselves. One of the worst things you can do is talk bad about yourself. Even think bad about yourself. It's one of the worst things you can do. And why am I saying that? Because the devil is after our confidence, after our courage. Why is the hardest thing for us to do to go up to someone and say, hey, do you know Jesus? Why is that the hardest thing? Because it challenges our confidence, our courage, our faith. It challenges all the thoughts that are going in our head. You're bothering this person. They want nothing to do with what you're saying. They're going to hit you in the face. All these thoughts, that's the enemy, and he wants us to think bad about ourselves so we don't do what we're called to do. Another thing I want to say is you actually are righteous. Righteous. So, you know, waiting for me to come up here this morning, I'm thinking, you can't go up there, you're not good enough, or what, those thoughts are from the enemy, a brief thought, and then I say, no, I'm actually speaking on behalf of the Lord this morning, I am righteous. So unless you leave your work day or your house for your work day with that kind of thinking, You're not going to, rather than thinking, what's going to happen bad to me today, or who's going to make fun of me today, or no, you're going to go out there and say, who can I be a blessing to today? How can I touch my enemies? How can I bless those that curse me? Because you have so much confidence and courage, and you know who you are, that nothing's going to stop you.
That's right.
Amen. We said this 2 weeks ago, if you were here. We talked about 3 John and how it says, above all else, everything is subordinate to this thing. God wants us to prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. What does that mean? Unless our soul is prospering, we're not hitting the mark. We're not, above all, that's God's desire for us. Our soul to prosper. That's God's desire for us. And it's kind of crazy that here's where sin starts. In our thoughts. And if we don't think right, then we open the door to saying, life's so hard. I'm gonna try this pill. I don't care. Well, those thoughts, I'm going to try this. I don't care, are from the enemy.
That's right. Yes.
Are from the enemy to destroy you. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But the Lord's saying, just give, empty yourself of you and give me a chance to work in your life. Even with a craving. You might have a craving. Your flesh has a craving. And you give it to the Lord. And you empty yourself of you. And he comes in and sweeps you off your feet with his supernatural high. His supernatural high that throws away any other false high. So I like this Ephesians 2:10. We are his masterpiece. So we can do the good things. So if I see myself as a masterpiece, that will enable me to go and do the good things.
Yeah.
If I see myself as a failure, as a loser, I can't very likely go and do the big things that God has for me. So stop and start. Stop feeling bad about yourself and start believing that God loves you unconditionally. And that starts in here. So, and you think, and you keep thinking it until it gets in your heart.
Right.
And guess what? When it's in your heart, this is what's happening. When it's in your heart, what you put so much in your mind gets to be one with your spirit.
Right.
And it gets in your heart. And you might have felt it before. It's like a switch of faith. I've said this story before, but I was in Bible school. Going to 3 hours of teaching every day. And then I would go eat lunch and come back to this thing called healing school. And it was a lot of sitting, a lot of learning. But I remember towards the end of my second year, which is the final year, it's a 2-year Bible school, I was going to healing school. And so I was giving my soul no chance to think wrong thoughts. I kept putting 4 hours every day and then preaching and so I was saturating my mind with the word.
Yeah.
Then one of the classes, they were talking about healing, and I actually felt a switch, like something turned on.
Uh-huh.
And my spirit agreed with what my mind was saying. My heart agreed with what my mind was saying. And I felt like the faith thing wasn't as difficult anymore.
Right.
It's just, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. That's I believe it. That settles it. So you say, well, I'm having a hard time believing. Keep putting the truth into your mind and heart. It'll click. Say, it'll click. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's talk about that every thought is a seed. And so when you think something, you're actually planting. You're taking that seed and you're planting it, either on good soil or bad soil. And our thoughts are directly connected to what we say and what we do. So, our success and failure starts here.
That's right.
We all know this, but do we do it? I go throughout my day and I'm constantly telling myself, that's not a thought from the Lord. You're believing a lie.
Uh-huh.
Every day.
Yeah.
And I work at a church. So imagine what it would be like if you're in the world or in an atmosphere.
Uh-huh.
So we have to surrender our thoughts to the Lord. And I heard someone say one time, well, I can't help it. These thoughts are coming into my head. What am I supposed to do? Yeah, you're right. These thoughts do come into our head, but your response to that thought does determine whether you have victory or failure. The thoughts will come. Don't let them build a nest. Don't let them build a nest in your head. I heard birds fly over your head, but don't let them build a nest in your hair. So I want to share this verse with you in Mark 4:24. It's number 8 on the scriptures. Mark 4:24, if you want to turn there, you can, but this is the Amplified. It says this: "And he said to them, be careful what you are hearing." The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you who hear. I don't know if you picked up on any of this, but basically it's this: if I keep spending time thinking and hearing right things, it's going to produce right things in my life. And if I'm struggling in an area, worry or money, doing the right thing with my money, guess what? I need to read and hear the truth and study the truth on God's plan for money. Maybe your weakness is fear of death, whatever it could be. Well, what you want to do is you want to study and read God's love for you and his promise to give you a long life. And that's what you combat those lies with the truth. And the more thought and study you give to that truth will bring that truth to life and produce good things in you. I got to read it again. Be careful what you are hearing. I'm going to say it again. Be careful what you are hearing. There's a pause for dramatic effect. Because we hear so much stuff, but we could just turn it off. We could just turn it off. The daily news, just try it. Just go like that. Turn it off. And then you have on your phone, you know, the scriptures. Just turn it on.
Yeah, there you go.
The measure of thought and study you give to the truth will be the measure that comes back to you.
Amen.
Wow. So I like to call this think time. If I'm using my think time on God's word, on what he says about me, on what he says about my job, my circumstances, then it's going to produce God's will, God's destiny in my life. And to get the word of God from your head to your heart, it requires some think time. I'm telling you this, 1 hour in church a week ain't going to do it. It's not going to do it. Not in this atmosphere that we live in. So ask the Lord what you can do to increase your think time, to get it from your head to your heart. So we talked about this 2 weeks ago if you were here, but let's read this verse again. Philippians 4:8 says, this is number 9 on the scriptures. Philippians 4:8 says, "Whatever is true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report, that's what we should think on. Think on these things. And if there be any praise, think on these things." So I'm going to ask you a question. Say you have a thought. Maybe it's a continual thought. And then you have to report that thought to someone. Is that going to be a good report or a bad report? And say, well, I don't know how to change this. It's like something I've dealt with my whole life. Guess what? You can change your thoughts. You can say, that's not a good report. I'm not going to think about that. I'm going to replace that lie or that wrong thought with the truth. That's all done in here. And that's all done with the desire to not let the devil have you and have your destiny and have your life. My brother did a residency with a psychologist, and he asked the doctor, he says, what can we do to get these people off their meds and live in a normal life? And the psychologist said, is that a psychologist?
Yeah.
Said, there's only one thing I know, that is to change their thinking. So, I mean, how much simpler can you get? If you're depressed, guess what? Just change. Tell yourself, I'm not going to think that thought anymore, whatever that thought is. It could be PTSD. Guess what? God can heal it. God can heal it. And you say to that PTSD thought, I'm not going to picture that thing that happened to me in the Army. I'm not going to picture it. I'm going to think about good reports. I'm going to think about good things. Then we talked about 2 Corinthians, casting down imaginations, right? And every strong thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Well, it doesn't say ask God to cast it down. It doesn't say, you know, maybe if you ask nicely, you might get rid of that bad thought. No, it says cast down the imagination in every high thing. You. Poke someone to say, that's you. That's you. That's me and you. That's you. And we all face it. I just told you. Every day we have so many negative thoughts. A lot. Every day. Every day. And if we don't recognize it, that's an enemy. That's a weapon. That's a weapon the devil's using on me to bring me down. And I have to cast it down. And I'm going to believe what God says against the knowledge of God. So what is God saying? What is he saying about the situation? Well, it doesn't look good. The doctor the doctor said it's stage four. You know what that means? You could listen to that, but guess what? A doctor is not God.
That's right. Come on.
A doctor's just giving you a report.
Amen.
They're already saying it. You just said it. They're already recognizing they don't understand, but things change without their hand in it.
Amen.
So guess what? Their report is just a report. They're just giving you facts in the natural at that moment.
Yeah.
But they change. Facts change and things change like that.
Right.
And then they can't explain it. That's because it's supernatural.
Right.
So casting down imaginations. We are in charge. So I heard a preacher say this one time. He says, my mind is my mind. And I tell my mind what to think.
That's great.
You can't tell someone else what to think, but you are in charge of your mind. My mind, say it with me, my mind is my mind. And I tell my mind what it can think about. Yeah. So negative thoughts produce negative things. So a positive thought, God's thoughts, God's word will produce positive thoughts. Heavenly things in your life.
That's right.
I'm not talking like the ability to laugh. Laugh when you're actually even in pain. You can laugh. Ha. 2 weeks ago, I hurt my back again for the second time this month or last month. And I was so mad. I'm like, oh, I did it again, you know. And I kind of did shout out loud. Ah, like something like that. Because I was mad. Because I don't like being down. Can't even pick up a laundry basket. And I didn't do it perfectly, but my desire was to say, I'm not going to be stuck this way. I'm going to get better.
Yeah.
The thought came to me, you're done lifting stuff, man. You're done. You know, that thought came to me, but I told myself, no, I am not done. God has more for me to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to get through this. I'm going to get better. Ha ha. I put my own shoes on today, so hallelujah. Last Sunday, my wife put my shoes on. But hallelujah.
Glory to God.
So you don't have to think about whatever falls into your head. You can redirect your thinking. So let's go talk about, for the next 5 minutes or so, about our words, what we say out of our mouth. You know, there's power in our words. We know this scripture, but I want to bring it into your spirit again. Ready? Proverbs 18:21. This is number 12 on the outline. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So right there we see one thing right there. There is power in our words. So our words can either, with that power in our words, we can either produce death or we can produce life. And I think this is interesting. The rest of this verse in the Amplified says, and those who love it and indulge it Wow. So we don't realize we're indulging in death. But if we're speaking negatively, if we're saying what the devil wants for us, I'll never be that good. I'll never get there. Oh, he can, but not me. I got this problem, or I got this defect, or I am not normal. All these things are from the enemy. How many has ever told yourself, I'm not normal? Guess what? None of us are normal. So don't even go there. So we have to respond to those thoughts and say, I'm not going to let that produce death in my life. I'm not going to speak that thought out. When I hurt my back, I'm going to say, Jesus, help me, Jesus. Yeah. I'm not going to say, this blankety blank blank. I hate this thing, you know. Anyways, which I didn't do, thank the Lord. But it's called an attack, and it's our opportunity to rise above it and celebrate what God is going to do on the other side of that attack. Hallelujah. So our words are powerful. They can create or destroy. Job 6:25-13 on the outline says, how forceful, this is Job, how forceful are right words. When he began to pray for his friends, when he began to change his perspective, and this is Job who lost like everything. He began to change his perspective and change what he was saying, his thoughts and his words, and he got back twice as much as he had before. Do you think if he wouldn't have changed his perspective, that would have happened? I don't think so. No. He changed his perspective, he activated his faith, and it changed the circumstance. How forceful are right words? And we talked about this 2 weeks ago. I'll just remind you that in James, it talks about how a ship has a little rudder. I talk about a big cruise ship, 5 stories high, 6 stories high. It's like a little city. And it has a little rudder. A little rudder, probably as big as a car, which is small compared to that ship. Steering that whole thing. That whole ship, wherever it goes. Just that's the same with our tongue. Our little thing right here inside of our cheeks is steering our whole life. Be reminded of it and ask the Lord to not let you curse yourself with your words. Amen. Lord, help us to steer ourselves into your perfect will. What's impossible with man, I'm gonna declare it, is possible with God. Amen. Your words, your talking will direct your ship, your life. So I'll have a few minutes, so I want to close with this. In 2 Timothy, this is number 17 on the outline. 2 Timothy, this is Timothy, Paul writing to Timothy. Paul's big deal in the New Testament. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament.
That's right.
And guess what? He's writing this book in prison. So in prison, it's probably stinky. He probably hasn't had a bath. All he has is probably a glass of water, maybe a pen and a paper. And he's like, I'm going to use this free time that I have to speak into this church or this person, Timothy. And this is what he said. For the which cause I also suffer these things. What is these things? Probably a death sentence. He's waiting for his death. This persecution, this rough situation he's in. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed of being in this prison. I know I didn't do anything wrong. I'm not ashamed.
Yeah.
I'm here because I'm doing what God wants me to do. And then he says, for I know whom I have believed. So he's just reminding himself, guess what? I'm in a bad situation. But I know my God will see me through it. Even if I wake up tomorrow in heaven. After they cut my head off, guess what? I'm going to be with my Savior. I can't lose. And while I'm still here breathing, I'm going to write an encouraging word from the Lord to my co-laborer, Timothy. And it says right here, I and am persuaded. This is important. And I am persuaded. That didn't happen from listening to 7 messages on your phone.
That's right.
that encouraged you on how to get out of prison. No, he was persuaded because he did something to his thoughts. In his think time. In his self-talk. I bet you he even preached to himself. He had his own little service. He might have set up a chair and said something and then sat down and amen. Who knows? But he was encouraging himself to be his own preacher. He says, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So I heard this on a message, but this word persuaded is the Greek word pathos, which means to change from one opinion to another. So he might have had this that morning, the opinion of, man, life stinks. This place stinks. And I didn't do anything wrong. This is wrong that I'm here. This is wrong. He might have been thinking all those thoughts, but then he started thinking, but God. And he said, I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So rather than listen to all the news that has been told to him about his future, he decided to use his own mouth and talk to himself to put himself in a position of faith. So you can speak to yourself. Don't wait to go into a prison to start talking to yourself. Just don't talk. Don't answer yourself. That's when it goes too far. But talking to yourself is a good thing. You can do this. I am the righteousness of God. This prison stinks. It does. But guess what? I'm gonna use this opportunity to reinforce what I know is true in Timothy's life. He was persuaded. Yes. Firmly persuaded. Everyone say self-talk.
Self-talk.
Let's all stand this morning. Believe the report of the Lord.
That's right.
If you believe it, say it. If we go to the next verse in 2 Timothy where Paul's writing, he says, hold fast the form of sound words.
Oh, yeah.
This morning I was thinking about this. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and a sound mind.
Yeah.
What is that? A sound mind is thinking like God.
Come on.
A sound mind is believing that things are good, things are coming your way.
That's right. Amen.
A depressed mind is thinking, man, this is rough. This is probably gonna end in my whatever, demise. But a sound mind believes what God says.
Amen.
Amen. So I want you guys to believe with me that we're bringing this soul further away from our body, the way of living like the world, and more in union with Christ. I'm telling you, when you reach a situation and you rise above it and you start declaring the truth about it from God's word,
right.
Might not look that way, but that's what the truth is, God's word.
That's right.
You'll see a supernatural response.
Hallelujah.
Ha ha.
Glory to
God. Yeah, I've heard it time and time again. We see it in the scriptures. God will restore everything that was taken when you change your perspective.
That's right.
And begin to bless those that curse you. Begin to pray for those and get out of the looking at the little details that aren't right.
That's right.
And keep your eyes on the big picture.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's close our eyes this morning. You might be here and you're saying, wow, I really need to get my mind renewed. I'm not thinking right thoughts. These negative thoughts are pretty much taking over my day, every day, and I need help. So I want to pray for you right now. God, I break the power of bondage, of depression right now over every person. I speak against, Lord. Chemical imbalances due to wrong thinking. And I speak health to our bodies, Lord. Health to our thinking. To the pathways in our brain will be connected to the truth of your word that says, you are for me, so who can be against me? Hallelujah. There's nothing too difficult for you. Hallelujah. When everything else around me is failing or falling, Lord, you pick me up and I rise. Lord, help us to believe your report. Help us to speak your report in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Freedom, whom the Son has set free, is free indeed. And the truth will set you free. Someone shout, I'm free.
I'm free.
Hallelujah. Say it again, I'm free.
I'm free.
Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in our midst, Lord. Lord, I pray for anybody here, Lord, that just is in pain or needs a touch. Holy Spirit, we sang it this morning. Rest on us. Rest on us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information, please visit wordalivechurch.info.